ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 दृष्टान्
दृष्टम् दर्शम्
अभूत्
अभूत्
क्षत्रम्
क्षत्रम्
ब्रह्मा
ब्रह्मा
भूयम्
भूयम्
गतम्
गतम्
शिथौ
शिथौ
मृगस्य
मृगस्य
वंशास्
वंशास्
सुमतिर्
सुमतिर्
भूतज्योतिष
भूतज्योतिष
ततो
ततो
वसु
वसु
दृष्टद्दर्ष्टम् अद्भुतक्षत्रम्
दृष्टद्दर्ष्टम् अद्भुतक्षत्रम्
ब्रह्मभूयम् गतम् शिथौ
ब्रह्मभूयम् गतम् शिथौ
मृगस्य वंशः सुमतिर्
मृगस्य वंशः सुमतिर्
भूतज्योतिष्ठतो वसु
भूतज्योतिष्ठतो वसु
Drishtat.
Drishtat.
From Drishta.
From Drishta.
Another son of Manu.
Another son of Manu.
Darshtam.
Darshtam.
A cast of the name Darshta.
A cast of the name Darshta.
Abhut.
Abhut.
Was produced.
Was produced.
Kshatram.
Kshatram.
Belonging to the Kshatriya group.
Belonging to the Kshatriya group.
Brahmabhuyam,
Brahmabhuyam,
position of Brahmanas,
position of Brahmanas.
Gatam,
Gatam,
had achieved,
Kshitau,
on the surface of the world,
on the surface of the world.
Nrigasya,
Nrigasya,
of Nriga, another son of Manu,
another son of Manu.
Vamsa,
Vamsa,
the dynasty,
the dynasty.
Samati,
Samati,
of the name Sumati,
of the name Sumati.
Bhuta Jyoti,
Bhuta Jyoti,
of the name Bhuta Jyoti,
of the name Bhuta Jyoti.
Tata,
Tata,
thereafter,
thereafter.
Vasu,
Vasu,
by the name Vasu,
by the name Vasu.
Being reluctant to accept material enjoyment, Manu's youngest son, whose name was Kavi, gave up the kingdom after obtaining full youth, or before obtaining full youth. Accompanied by his friends, he went to the forest, always thinking of the self-effulgent Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. Thus he attained perfection. From Karusha, another son of Manu, came the Karusha dynasty, a family of Kshatriyas. The Karusha Kshatriyas were the kings of the northern direction. They were celebrated protectors of Brahminical culture and were all firmly religious. From the son of Manu named Drishta came a Kshatriya caste called Darshta, whose members achieved the position of Brahmanas in this world. Then from the son of Manu named Niga came Sumati. From Sumati came Bhutajyoti, and from Bhutajyoti came Vasu. Purport. Here it is said, Kshatram, Bhama, Bhuyam, Gatam, Kshitara. Although the Darshtas belonged to the Kshatriya caste, they were able to convert themselves into Brahmanas. This gives clear evidence supporting the following statement by Narad Muni, Bhagavatam 7:11-35. Yasya yau lakshanam proktam kumso varna bhi vyanjakam yad antyatapi drishyeta tattenaiva vinir dushet. The qualities of one group are found in men of another. Those men should be recognized by their qualities, by their symptoms, not by the caste or the family in which they were born. Birth is not at all important. It is one's qualities that are stressed in all Vedic literature. This is an essential element. As we see the Srimad Bhagavatam, this has been is giving us the standards of the Daiva Varnashram system. In the Daiva Varnashram system, then qualities are the important thing.
Well, Yasurit Varnasham, birth, is important. That in Daiva Varnasham, what are your qualities? That is the occupation one should follow. And for the Asurit Varnasham, what family you're born in, that is the duties one should follow. So, we see is that since in the Daiva Varnasham, the important thing is to get out of this material world. So therefore, the nature that one has, if one performs those activities for the satisfaction of the Lord, we will become purified. And then in that purified state, then we can attain to transcendence. While in the Asurit Varnasham, then transcendence is not the goal. It is to enjoy this world, prestige, honor, so many other things are there. Therefore, even if one doesn't belong in a particular family, then the prestige of that family is performed. And by that, then one is very proud, the identity becomes very strong, because it is simply by birth. The other one is its qualities, those qualities are there, therefore they're used. But the Asurit Varnasham, then the identity actually becomes the body, not the qualities, not the subtle body. Daiva Varnasham, the subtle body is the qualities. The Asurit Varnasham, then the gross body is the qualities. I mean, is the identification. So this identification with the gross body, then it fixes one in society, and then one becomes very engrossed in these things, very determined to follow these things. So it has its advantages for those interested in prestige. Because even though one doesn't have the qualities, one is born in a Brahmin family, but doesn't have any Brahminical character. But because of birth, he can still claim to be a Brahmin and get all the facilities and respect of that Brahminical position. So then it keeps everything nice. Other people also who may have the qualities who could come up and take the position, you know, by their good example, then our position would be lessened. They had someone from a lesser family who had Brahminical qualification. They were performing Brahminical activities. Then the difficulty would come is that it would look bad for the person who's simply born a Brahmin who is not a Brahmin. So this way then the social structure would be disturbed, disrupted, because of the pride and the attachment of people. Therefore they would not be able to tolerate these kind of things, because they don't want to act according to their position. That's the thing. Asurit Varnasham, it's not who actually what is my actual position, but what I want. So that is the desire becomes more important than one's qualification. And this is then a great difficulty for the living entity. You know, is that he wants something, he wants to get it. So by the Daiva Varnasham, one might be restricted. Because in Daiva Varnasham, according to your nature, you should use that for pleasing the Lord. But in the Asurit Varnasham, since pleasing the Lord isn't at all the goal, it's pleasing yourself. Therefore, you take the position and maintain your position. Of course, it works very nicely for those who are higher in the society that don't have the qualifications. And it's not so good for those who are born lower in the society who actually do have qualifications. And therefore, ultimately, it's not progressive for that society to make spiritual advancement. So here, then, is being pointed out in this purport by Narad Muni, by Prabhupada, about Narad Muni's statement that what family you're born in is not the essential point. One will start from that point. Naturally, you have to start somewhere. Without identity, you can't act in this world. You can't act in any world. Right? How you'll work in the spiritual world if you don't know who you are? You can't. How one will run the service to Krishna if you don't know who you are? Right? If there's no relationship, how you'll render? So you have to have an identity. Same in the material world. Without an identity, how you act? You come in contact with another person. How will you act? You don't know. Are you their friend? Are you junior to them, senior to them? Are you their father? Maybe you're their wife. Maybe you're their dog. You don't know. You know. So how will you act? So identity must be there. But the identity in Dainavarnashram is meant that then you have something to use for Krishna. Right? It's just like the cook goes into the kitchen. They don't know what's going to be in there. So they walk into the kitchen and then they find some particular items, and then according to those items, they'll cook. They find rice and they'll make some rice or some khichdi like this, you know. They find some flour, then they can make some chapatis or something. They can make some bread. They find vegetables and they can make sabji with that. You know, so accordingly what they find, they use. So the purpose is to use it in Krishna's service. That's the purpose. So Daivavarnashram is that. Okay, you take birth. What qualities you have, take that, use it for Krishna. That's all. It's not that one is better than the other. It's not that the rice is better than the dal, or the sabji is better than the chapati. No, a meal means all of those things. So what you have, you use. It's a simple formula. But due to pride and attachment, therefore this system is not able to be used by those who position is very important to them. Because if we're not the body, what does it matter what is the conditioned nature of the body? We'll just take that, use it for Krishna. It's no big deal. Like that. Just like someone who can go into the kitchen and whatever's there, cook something nice for the deity, you call them a cook. And the person that goes in and this is not there, that's not there, this pot's not there, that I can't cook, I can't do this, I can't do that, make all this there, then I'll cook. Then you say, who's this? Prima donna. You know, it's just some proud person. And they technically know how to cook. But what's so special? It means you have to do everything for them. Their prestige is more important. Because they'll think, I don't have all these first-class ingredients, what I cook may not be so good, people won't praise me for what I've cooked. Right? But a cook can take anything and make it nice. So that's the difference. Is the Daivavarnashram is for those actually who are expert. And the Asurikvarnashram is for those who are actually not very expert. So the Daivavarnashram is the chosen social system for the devotees. Because they don't care about position or prestige. They just take what Krishna has given them, use it for Krishna. And then everything's perfect. Everything has to be done. All the varnas, all the ashrams, all those duties must be done if you want to have a social system. So who does what? It doesn't matter as long as it's done. That's the thing. That's what must be done. So then we see here is that there's a group. They were Kshatriya caste. In other words, their family line was Kshatriyas. But because of their nature towards brahminical activities, they are Brahmins. So they took up more seriously just their spiritual development and all those different things. And so that was important to them. Just as we see also sometimes in the Kshatriya caste, that people don't follow their duties and they fall to a lower position. They become become prostates. No, I can't remember what it's called. It means that they're apostate. Apostate means that they don't perform their duty. They've given it up. They're supposed to do it, but they don't do it. I forget what Mana calls them. So there you have so many grades of people like this. Like you see the Dravidians, the natural Dravidians. They're actually a fallen group of Kshatriyas. They've given up the duties of the Kshatriyas, so then they just become they just give up those duties. But we see is the nature, there's still their fighting nature is still there. You get the original Tamil people and like that. And they're very ferocious like that. They've been fighting with them in Sri Lanka for years. They can't defeat them. A small group of them, they can't defeat them. Because actually they're from Kshatriya stock, but they don't practice the Kshatriya duties anymore. Like that. Also the Kashas, they're also a fallen group of Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas that deviated from their past. So you see is that so much of the modern, when we think of martial arts, then we always think of the Oriental martial arts. So by nature, that's just so easy for them. Because that's what the stock is from. Like that. Also, you see the European it's from this kshatriya also, stock. Therefore, they're always, you know, trying to take over the world, trying to fight with everybody. They love to fight, argue. It's just very natural. Peacefulness is not a is not valued. Peaceful means, you know, what benefit you'll get from that. You know, you have to progress. So we see is that it's not an uncommon thing, is that these different groups, the stock is from one thing, but they've either degraded themselves by not following, or by nature they've elevated themselves to another position. So therefore the birth is not the important thing, it's the qualities that one sees within it. So that's here. We also see in Bharat Maharaj, Rishabdev's, the brothers of Bharat Maharaj, then out of 100 sons, 80 of them took up brahminical occupation. 11 of them just stepped out of Varnashram and became Paramahamsas. And only 9 of the 100 took up the Kshatriya duties. So, like this, then you see these groups. So therefore, it's not so important, these things. For the devotee, it's not important the birth, it's not important so many things. What's important is just we have to purify the conditioned nature. If we take the conditioned nature, use it for Krishna, according to Krishna's directions, then we become purified. And in that purified state, then we're able to give up our attachments to this material world. And in that position, then it's very easy to remember Krishna, always engage in Krishna's service, become absorbed in chanting the Lord's name, associating with devotees. These become valuable to us. Because the other is just what you do, right? Just like we breathe, but we don't think about breathing. It's just one of the things you do. And it's what activities you do. It's nice how you interact with others. Like, socially, you have friends. Then when you get together with friends, you're just with them. If it's intimate friends, then you're just, the friendship is what's important. Not what this one did at work today or that one did at work. It may be a conversation, you might start the conversation there. But that's not what's important. What's important is the interaction. It's the same in the Daiva Varnasha. What is the occupational position isn't important. That is just done. What's important is the association of Vaishnavas, the devotional activities that one performs, one's devotional purpose in life. Those are what one somebody is known for. That is what makes the society of devotees very nice. The other things are just done. It's the duty. It's just out of hand. Any questions on this? Yes.
Seems to me that Daivi Varnashram is very progressive. Someone may have some qualities at a certain point and may develop other ones later on in life, maybe purified or maybe degraded. Okay. How does this system deal with this change of qualities? Or
means the devotional system can accommodate that. Because the point is you're performing service. That's the essential point. So if you're engaged in the Lord's service, then it works properly. If you're not engaged in the Lord's service, then it becomes a difficulty. Otherwise, what's the identity that people deal with you? Right? In devotional service, then the identity is based on you as a devotee. So it's not on what you're doing. But in the Asura Varnashram, it's what you're doing that's important. So that places you in the whole social system. So that can't change. But in the Daiva Varnashram, it can change. Though, the rule is what is the nature, that is what must be done. Right? It means you don't just change services. Like Arjuna, he wanted to change service. He wanted to take up brahminical activities. But his nature was that of a kshatriya. So for him to change and take up the brahminical things would not be successful for him. Because he would still act like a kshatriya. Even though he's gone to the forest, he still have to protect the people, he still have to fight, he still have to do all those things. So what is happening in the Daiva Varnashram, since his qualities, what is not happening is not that the person has a kshatriya quality and then becomes a Brahmin. they have a brahminical quality, their conditioned nature. But due to some reason or another, it is covered. So therefore, there's more passion, there's more ignorance. So therefore, you'll see them, they'll act more like something else. They'll act more like a kshatriya, more like a vaishya or a shudra. So as they perform devotional service and that becomes purified, then they naturally come up. That's one aspect. The other aspect is that the soul, by nature, being transcendental, then the Vaishnava qualities are the same as the brahminical qualities. And so then, as they become situated more in devotional service, you'll see the brahminical qualities manifest more. So that doesn't necessitate that they necessarily change their service, because they may have a conditioned nature that matches, let's say, administration. But so then you'll see that they just become very, they perform their administrative duties, but then their devotional qualities in that become very increased and become very advanced in that position. Like we see here, so many kings before that are mentioned, though they are coming in the line of Manu, but at the first opportunity they go to the forest and take up spiritual life. If someone else can run the kingdom, they'll have them do it and they'll go to the forest. They're not interested in doing it for themselves. So the qualities are so high that even though they have the ability to do, then the interest is not there. So as long as one's on that platform, one is free from attachment, one can do that. But if attachment is there, then one should maintain those or deal with those attachments according to one's conditioned nature. Like that, one should not have one conditioned nature and try to get the facilities of another. That's not proper, because then you will not actually be fulfilled. Some prestige, okay. Someone is one thing, they want to be in another thing. You know, they want to, you have somebody, let's say they're a farmer and they want to be the big manager, the big administrator. You know, prestige, you get some facility, you know, it's maybe the field be perceived as less work. But then they won't be satisfied, neither with anyone else, because they'll administrate as a Vaishya, not as a Kshatriya. So their administration will be profit and loss. Their administration will be a business. And therefore, they'll be with everybody else in the administration as things that you use in business. And no one will be satisfied, including the person who's trying to take that position. So these things are unnecessary in the devotional life. Because whatever you take and use it for Krishna, conditioned nature will be satisfied, and spiritual nature will be satisfied, and everyone else will be satisfied. But one can move through. You have to see the position. Someone, let's say, was brahminical nature, committed some offense, so that would taint them in this life. You know, like this previous king. He was a king. Then, due to his mistake, he was cursed to become a Shudra in the next life. But he won't, all his Kshatriya qualities won't be lost. All that virtue and all, that won't disappear in one lifetime. It takes many lifetimes for something to go down or to come up. Just one would be in that position. And one would have that association, and one may, in the beginning as a young child, develop some habits that are not so good. And then he'll have to adjust that later. But, so, therefore, this may happen. So in this life you may see them begin out in a certain way, and as they purify themselves of whatever was the reaction to what improper thing they did, then you'll see they'll come back to whatever was the position before. You know, like you see also Vritrasura, Chitraketu, great king. Then he's cursed to become a demon. So then he performs the occupational duties of a demon, but he has the spirit of a Kshatriya. And he, because he was a great devotee, he has that full faith in the Lord. So the Daiva Varnashram system can accommodate this, but the Asuric Varnashram doesn't. That's why it's an inferior system. It's not actually the system. It's used because the Varnashram system is the best social system. So even the demons use it. Because the demons, they want results. They want good, they want to enjoy. They want position, power, fame, wealth, everything.
and they know that it only comes from the Vedic system. Therefore, they follow it. But because of their attachments to their prestige and other things, and that therefore then they maintain this thing of birth. Because then everything works for them, because they're nasty by nature. Now you see, Sarmishvan Devayani. Then by some accident, the clothes get mixed up. They come out of the water, they put on the clothes. Then Devayani says, what's this? You know, you're the junior, you're our disciple, and you're putting on our clothes. How can you do this? How can you be so bold? So that was a nasty statement. But this is a sura line. You know, because she's Brahmin, she should have just said, excuse me, look at you, sorry, I think you got my clothes. You know. That's what she could have said. That's the real Brahminical nature. No, but by birth, then she's Brahmin, so therefore she's, yeah, it means she's powerful, but she's proud of it. And the other one, she could have just immediately said, oh, excuse me. No, but, you know, why are you so proud? You know, your father just, he's a paid reciter of praises of my father. Even when my father's laying down, he's there praising, right? Because you don't lay down in front of superiors. You accept alms, you're a beggar. We give alms, we never accept alms. You praise, we are praised. You are a beggar, we give in charity. We're better than you. So it's all just nonsense based on false ego. And we see so much trouble is caused from this. Devayani, because of her pride, she gets cursed by Kacha that she'll never marry a Brahmin, she'll have to marry someone else. Because of this, then she, Sarmishta, has to become her maidservant for life. All this, all because of false ego. So this is the demon system, because prestige is so important for them. So they make all this trouble. Well, you see, Daitavarnashram, then it'll be there because of the materialistic nature. The Kanista devotee, pride is still, the identity is still strong for them. Because the spiritual identity hasn't become so well formed. At Nishta, then that becomes more fixed. Then they're able to work on the platform more of humility and respect and like this. It doesn't matter the position. Maybe you're in a senior position, someone else deals wrongly, but it's no problem because who cares? Right? Praise and criticism is seen as the same. They're both. What's the difference? They're connected with the body, anyway, connected with the gross and subtle body. So no one, the advanced persons don't worry about it. So as their spiritual identity becomes more fixed, that I am servant of Krishna, then they don't worry as much about the other. It's their duty, they perform. It gives them a position in society. Is that okay?
It's like the modes of nature constantly mixed with each other. This is even for us, maybe more in goodness, but we have the three modes. Or like the dhatus and the body, someone's kapha, pitta, vata, is also mixed. We have a mix of the three. We have a mix also of the varnas, because it's supposed to be according to the guna. So it's not according to where we are going in the gunas that we develop different stages of varnas.
Good here.
So then,
in the asuric varnashram or non-devotional varnashram, movement through it is very, very slow. Millions of lifetimes of Yakarmi, then slowly you'll come to this is useless. Then millions of lifetimes of Yajnani, millions of lifetimes of Yogi, like this. It goes in millions, it doesn't go in one or two. Because the process of following is very slow. They're just the modes of nature, and so they just highly carry it. But the devotees, because they're following the devotional practices, the purification process is so fast, and not only that, one's previous karma has been eliminated. So therefore, you might see that. But generally you'll see it'll be based a lot on, how you say, the devotional mentality. Let's say someone is a shudra by nature, but if this devotional mentality is very strong, he'll act as a Brahmin. But if there's a day when he's not Krishna conscious, then he may act as a shudra. Or maybe it's not so in Krishna consciousness. Maybe more, it becomes more political and more, you know, profit-minded, like that. That's there. But one shouldn't establish one's. You can't establish your duty based on that. Just, you know, which side of the bed you got out of in the morning. One has to see what is the primary feature. The other aspect is the three modes of nature are there, but they're always mixed, they're never pure. So when we say Brahmins are in goodness, that means goodness is the predominant feature. Kshatriya's passion, that's the predominant feature. You know, Shudra's ignorance, that's the predominant feature. But nothing can be pure ignorance, pure passion, pure goodness. It won't, can't be. Just like the soul is Satchitananda. Right? So therefore these three are there, and those are the source of the Satchitananda, is the source of the three modes. So therefore all three are there, but just which one is prominent? Right? That's all. So attraction is ignorance in the material world. Attachment then is goodness. Activities are passion. Mm-hmm. So like that. That's why I think. Does that make sense? So it's always going to be moving and all that. So it makes sense.
Does that make sense? Then moving the class and you were saying that not everyone has all the good qualities that every skier and every not everyone has all the abilities, even right up to the pure voltage. So I sort of, and then maybe tune into myself and see. Well, I was expecting too much, too high, so it made me allow myself to accept myself from where I am and grow from there. So like, I understood then, from what you said, that it's okay. You know, sometimes you have this quality and you lack that one, but wherever you are, you know, you can start at that point. And of course, Krishna's so kind, he sent his son to the bookshop to give you the information that you need, so that you don't have to play around and waste time. If you listen nicely, you catch it straight away, and you go up. So thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you whether at one stage the Vaishnava can act in any platform as required for pleasing Krishna. We saw many incidents, you know, and the body, you know, were attacked and the defense of the devotees. You don't think, oh, I am a Brahmana, I can't touch the dog. You know, they go ahead and shoot some people, no problem. Or they need to make some money and you know, for Krishna, and they go out and collect money, you know. They don't think, oh, this is a Vajra business, I become contaminated by collecting money. So can we say at one stage, Vaishnava advancement, you know, say, is able to act on any platform as required for pleasing Krishna?
Basically, yes. Means yes. Is that the... See, is anyone at any time, according to emergency, can act if the need is there and there's no one else to perform the duty. So emergency is always there, but emergency you can't go on for a long term. Many times we see that mistake is done by administrators, is that they'll put someone by a need into a position. They do well in it for some time, and then the administrator gets attached to them staying in that position, rather than knowing they don't belong there, but at least for however much, until we can make some other arrangement, until it's not an emergency. So then many times you see this devotees just leave because they can't continue an emergency status for a long term. Sometimes for a moment or a day or some days or some weeks or some months, even some years. But at some point then they have to act within their natural status. As one advances more, especially when one comes to the Brahma-Buddha platform, after that, one is beyond conditioning. One could do anything, but then it's only what is the limitation of that particular body. You know, it's like, you know, maybe physically it couldn't do certain things, you know. So like that, you know, it's like, you know, they don't mind shooting the gun as long as they can pick it up, you know. So one has to see that. But on a normal thing, one would naturally just see what is the nature and perform that if that's available. If that's not available, then he chooses, you know, what's next best. You know, like a Brahmin can't perform brahminical activities, let's say of studying and teaching, like that, that's the best of all. Then he may do priestly work or some kind of puja and other kinds of things by which people will give donations in that way. Or he may take up begging or, you know, some other form that is may not be as good as what he was doing. If he can't do that within the brahminical field, he may take up the kshatriya work. If he can't do that, then he may take up the vaishya work, but generally they'll prefer business as opposed to farming and all that. Because for Brahmins to do farming, they get reactions. Vaishyas don't. Because when you plow the field, then so many living entities become killed. But because it's the duty of the Vaishyas, there's no sin in doing your own duty. Just like the Brahmins in the animal sacrifices, they kill the animals. There's no sin in that. Like that. So they don't get any sin. While the king, he will get something from it. You know, like that. But if he kills on the battlefield, no, there's no sin. But during hunting, something. No, there's no sin. He'll get implicated. You know, the cycle of samsara will be there. The animal he's killed will then in the next life have the opportunity to kill him. Like that. But there's no sin. He won't go to hell. You know, so these things, there's entanglement, but there's not. So business will be preferred. Like that. Well, for a vaishya, generally farming, cow protection, that would be preferred. If that's not there, then business, banking, like that. You know, so those kind of things. And if he does business, then generally it'll be things that people require. He doesn't, nothing to, no tricky stuff, you know? Scam kind of thing. He'll do stuff people require. Like that. You know, they don't create entanglement so much. Just like, let's say, if you sell white cloth, you know, dhotis and other kinds of cloth that people need. It's just day to day. You don't have to do any fancy things and make fancy displays. You don't have to create any maya to sell it. They need it. They like your price. The goods are good. They buy it. That's all. But, you know, if you want to sell colored cloth, then you have to, you know, display it. You have to know how to take it and throw it nicely. And you have to be able to create that whole atmosphere of, you know, illusion of attraction, attachment, and need and all that. Because one doesn't necessarily need it. You know, you need one piece of cloth or two pieces of cloth, but they create an environment in which you buy 10. You know? So generally a Brahmin, unless there's no other, he would avoid that because it's more entangling. But for a Vaishya to do that, that's perfectly, there's no entanglement for them at all. So depending upon the nature, one chooses what is good for them.
It says that we have to cultivate more goodness, but at the same time it says that we have to act according to our nature, according to the modes we aspire. How many of these spiritualized modes, or do we still have to cultivate the modes of goodness?
See, what modes we're cultivating and what modes get our work done are two different things. Like a knife, anything a knife does is going to be controlled by the mode of ignorance. Right? Because it's destroying something. Anything a knife deals with, it's destroying it. So its controlling mode is ignorance. But now cultivating the mode of goodness means what you're using that knife for. So So if you're using it, you know, for cooking or for surgery or something useful, then that'll be cultivating a different mode. In other words, it's the mode by which something works. And then there's your like consciousness, what direction you're taking your consciousness. You know, so it's many things are going on at once. It's not just, you know, one little box and then that's it. Everything's overlapping, everything's dependent. Right? You want to build something, you have to destroy something. Right? I want to build something. Okay, let's say I want to build a house. So building, that'll be controlled by the mode of passion. But to get the materials, one has to use the mode of ignorance. You have to dig dirt out of the ground or rocks out of the ground. You have to destroy something to get something that there. It means there's no free energy. Energy is already in place. You have to take it out of one position and put it into another. And that's called passion. Like that. So that means destruction is going on. Now, if you're doing that for a higher purpose, according to duty, then that's goodness. So you see, all three modes will be used at once, but the consciousness of the living entity is connected to the goodness, not the passion and ignorance. So you understand me? Like that.
Well, the actions may be good, passion or ignorance, but the consciousness is goodness?
Yeah, means it's done according, goodness means it's done according to duty. What is the duty? Transcendental means it's connected to Krishna. So, like that. That's the difference.
When we use certain modes of Krishna service, do they become spiritualized?
Yes, but that's not the important thing. It means it's becoming spiritual. What's important is us. The material energy is material energy. It's Brahman, whether we understand it or not. It's already a spiritual energy, but it's inferior. You know, it's already Brahman, but it's, and it'll remain material energy. It's not going to change, but it can carry spiritual potency to us. Right? It's just like copper is copper. It's not going to become something else. But you connect it to electricity, it carries the electricity. So for us, the copper is as good as electricity, but it's not electricity. It's copper. Like that. So it's a medium. So technically then it's the important thing is the consciousness, how you're using the consciousness, how you're endeavoring. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So I mentioned the Leo and Ashu system. Honestly, engage upon this nature. Sometimes it will be difficult to find the inherent nature. Externally he may act like a Brahmana. And he can be doing the same thing. But how to know the inner is a person in the sense hopefully that I have a nature.
One has to see that the person is satisfied. What they're doing is according to scriptures. The activity is according to scriptures, the mentality is according to scriptures, and the living entity doing it is satisfied. Then generally if you check that, you can see what is the nature. Like that. But many times because of the material world nowadays, everything's so mixed. You get mixed nature, and so mixed nature, that's the difficulty with it. That's why Arjuna is so alarmed at the prospect of Varna Shankara. Because Shankara means mixed, so Varna Shankara means mixed Varna. Is that then the people won't know what they're supposed to do. And in that bewildered state, they'll make trouble, because they have to do something. You have to maintain yourself, you have to have social interaction, the living entity can't get along without it. So they'll do something that may be mixed. You know, they'll do Brahminical activities, but, you know, with a Shudra mentality, or the opposite. You know, like this, or, you know, Kshatriya duties with a business mentality, or, you know, so many different things may be there. So therefore, those mixes are not considered ideal, because then the person's not satisfied, others aren't satisfied, and it's difficult. But in devotional service, take whatever one can identify, even if it doesn't fully satisfy it, some portion of it one can relate to and do that for Krishna. And then one will be purified. And then as a devotee, the Brahminical nature will manifest. And on the devotional platform, then the devotional activities, those Brahminical activities will become natural. Or at least one will purify whatever modes one's using and one will be able to perform those happily, you know, without any repercussions.
Good.
Okay. Okay. And then last one here, I can read it. See, sometimes we see the devotees who are preaching Krishna consciousness, there exist symptoms of non-dominical qualities, like fighting, etc. Why is that sometimes one who is preaching devotional service get the non-dominical qualities, like position, power, false ego, etc.? That's just conditioning. It's just that the material world means, if you take the position that we're starting from the principle of I'm the controller and enjoyer, in other words, I am in God, then one can expect that everything else is going to be a problem. You know? You know? Like Prabhupada gives the example of if you have a very large mathematical calculation, and if the first calculation is wrong, even though all the other calculations are right, they'll all be, the result will be wrong. So therefore, these qualities may manifest because we're in the material world. Therefore, that's why the Vaishnava looks at what's the good qualities. And those good qualities, appreciates those. Bad qualities are temporary. They'll go away. You know, with devotional service, they'll go. One's in a position to help them correct that, one helps. If not, one tolerates like that. So then it's just these things happen. Like that. It's just the leftover influence. It's just like if you have a box. The example is given of a box and you keep hing in it. Now if you dump all that hing out, wash the box really nicely, stick it out in the sun, and then pick it up and smell it, it still smells like hing. So even though actually the heart is pure, there still may be some flavor of previous, you know, attachments and activities, previous habits. So therefore they may come. But with practice by sadhana and by devotional service, gradually, though, even those will go away. Like that. So, and here. Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaya Vita, Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nitya Gaura, Prema Nandi.